You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz with you on your radio, on the free Odyssey app, and streaming live on YouTube. Today's show sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, up to 6 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. We are about 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, and we thought, who better to join us leading up to the draft every week than our buddy Mike Mayock. Mike, we appreciate having you back.
Love being here. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Mike? Appreciate it, brother.
All good. All good. Want to hear what your guys are thinking.
What we're thinking.
What we're thinking.
Dude, I don't know anything. Dude, that's what you're for, you know, quite honestly. Do you love digging into draft stuff, just sort of like watching tape and thinking about how the teams are going to operate? Is this something that, like, you find exciting, I guess?
You know what? When the Raiders fired me, I was like, I'm never going to look at another tape of a draft pick again. I'm done.
Wow.
And, of course, that lasted for about 5 months. And the next thing you know, I'm watching, you know, the top 100 players. And now I work as a consultant for some people from Consumer Sports and some other people. And it's like I did the top 125 players plus or minus, which is an awful lot of tape work. But what is intriguing to me is just when you get into this time frame, I get goosebumps. I start thinking about, like, what's going on in the Eagles building right now. And, you know, they're finishing up the pro day circuit, even though there's still a few more. They've got the 30 visits going, which mean an awful lot more than people think. Mm-hmm. The coaches are starting to get ready for their OTAs, and their minds are kind of drifting away from the draft, but the scouts are trying to finalize their board. And it's just really exciting because it's just, you know, whoever – handles their board correctly ends up winning the draft. And you might not know for a couple of years, but Howie Roseman and the Eagles have been the best in the business for the last several years.
Mike, great thing about having you on with us, man, is you understand this thing from both perspectives. You've done the breaking down of tapes and breaking down prospects from a network standpoint and from an analyst standpoint, but you've also done it where it really matters, which is in that front office. You just mentioned something about the draft board. I'm wondering, for every team, Eagles included, at this stage with 2 weeks left to go, how close are teams to sort of having their draft board finalized? In other words, is – you know, the Eagles are at the back of the draft, so I guess it may be a little harder, but you're 2 weeks away. Like, are you still in that evaluation period? Have you set the draft board up yet? Like, where are teams typically at 2 weeks out from the draft?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ike. And really what it comes down to is you've already pretty much stacked your board by position.
Okay.
And you've got a really good feel for that. Top, there might be a couple of questions that need to be answered at 30 visits or medical kind of things, but for the most part, from top to bottom by position, you've stacked your board. The harder part is the transition from by position to the overall ranking when you mix all the positions together. And what I mean by that is, like, you might have 10 players with an identical grade. Say you give them a 68, and it's going to be Howie's job and a couple of his top-ranking people that he trusts the most in that building over the next 10 days. They're basically going to sit down and say, you know what, the 68 corner we like a lot better than the 68 center, but that 68 edge, I'm going to put them right in between. And so you're really taking all the grades on your board, and you got to break them up so you have one final comprehensive board. And that's typically done, you know, plus or minus a week before the draft. And then the next level of is if you're picking in the top five, you have a pretty good idea who you're going to be picking from.
Yeah.
If you're picking 32, then you've got to be a little more nimble. And what I mean by that, and the good teams, the good organizations, typically are drafting late, right? So teams like Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia, New England when Belichick was there. I got to understand back in the day how these guys thought of things. And, you know, the bottom line is that all of them sit there and go, I can't pick who's going to be there at 27 if I'm Baltimore, or 32 if I'm Philly. So there's a group of four or five players that if you have to pick and stick, if you can't move up or back, you got at least five guys that you're good with any one of them. Any of the five we're good with, but one, at least one of them will be there. But you're also nimble enough to say, hell, you know, if somebody starts sliding, we're going to move up and go get them. I mean, that's who we are. That's why we're a good franchise.
Yeah.
And the flip side is you can't be afraid to move back. Yeah, you'll move back in the second round, pick up extra picks, and move on from there. And I think all the franchises that I just mentioned are not afraid to move up, move back, trade for existing players. I mean, and, you know, Howie Roseman personifies all that. He loves the trades. He loves moving up and back. You know, whether it's A.J. Brown or DeAndre Swift or what, you know, he does more of that than anybody in the league. And again, the Eagles are the best right now in the league at understanding their draft board.
Talking to Mike Mayock about the NFL draft, I think that there was an interesting thing you just brought up about you can, it's very easy to rank guys within position group, but all of a sudden when you're not ranking in position group, it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Right.
So you could have a guy who's an 82 or something as a safety and a guy who's a 75 as an edge, but you value edge more than you value safety. And all of a sudden the math gets a little more difficult when you're actually figuring out which player to take when you're in the draft. That's an interesting dynamic I hadn't really considered before.
Yeah, and it's not even just as simple as, yeah, I like the edge over the safety because an edge is a more important position, but it's also what is the best fit for our team? Which player fits better? It's not just, you know, where if you have an area of need and you have three players with the exact same grade, and it's pretty obvious. If you need an edge and one of them an edge, you take
right.
that player, right?
Right.
But there's a lot of gray areas. And that's what I love about the nuance of setting that final board.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. And what you're doing now is almost all tape, right? But when you're a GM, there's more than just the tape that comes into like selecting a player. So when you look at performance in college, combine stuff, and then conversations with the player or people around the player to get sort of character, work ethic. You know, I guess it's impossible to get from you how you rank those things, but I guess I'm just sort of curious what you rank about above what else
and
how those
more.
Fit together.
Yeah. And another great question. I mean, the bottom line, I think for most general managers is the tape is the holy grail. And everything else is a cross-check. So when you go to the combine, and I always used to say to the guys at the NFL Network, and then when I got with the Raiders, and I used to drive them all crazy, I'd be like, look, fast guys run fast, slow guys run slow. It's only a story if the opposite occurs. Like, I don't care if you know, so-and-so ran 4.26. We all knew he was going to.
Mm-hmm.
But if a wideout that we think is going to run 4.65 runs 4.42, now we got to go back to the tape and reevaluate. Were we wrong, or did the kid just get a great start? Is he a track star? You know, there's so much that goes into all of those things that at this time of year, I just think it's this is the most fun when you when you're trying to put all those different pieces together and come up with that composite.
So the moving around within the draft, I'm going to bring up one specific instance from the Eagles where it didn't go well. And it felt like from the outside, they were panicking and they didn't know what to do. And it was the year they took Marcus Smith. They got to their pick and they traded back and it just seemed like they froze. What is the, going into the draft, what is the difference between a team that is good at maneuvering and a team that isn't good at maneuvering?
It's preparation and confidence and a chain of command that is that everybody understands. Yeah. You can't be sitting there looking for your owner or your head coach and your offensive line coach. You've got to be ready to go and pull a trigger. And if you need to talk to somebody quickly, that's fine. But in the first round, you get 10 minutes. You know, most of the rest of the rounds, you get significantly less. Mm-hmm. So I used to think that some teams panicked and you kind of wanted to hammer at them a little bit. You know, call them on the clock with 4 minutes left. Hey, you want to do this right. And see if they make a mistake. And it really comes down to preparation, both as far as knowing in advance. For instance, we mentioned first round picks already, but you're talking every really good GM I've ever met knows that on like day one, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. Day two, second and third round, I've got one pick in each round. Okay, in each round, I've got these five players that are good for me. The worst-case scenario is that all five players are gone and you can't move up or back. That's worst-case scenario, right?
Yeah.
That rarely ever happens. It happened 1 year in New England, and they took an offensive lineman from Fresno State at 32 that nobody knew. He was supposed to be a third-round pick, and he ended up going to about 8 to 10 Pro Bowls. And the reason – I talked to Belichick later. The reason was he just knew he was going to be – he's like, my draft board was wiped out. We couldn't move either direction. What was important was at that moment we take a good, solid football player. That's all.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that.
Most of us feel like the Eagles might, going into this draft, have to replace the talent they lost on defense, right? So they, number one defense from a year ago, not many open spots on the offensive side. I guess maybe tight end, depending on what they do with depending on what they do with Dallas Goedert. But there are a lot of holes to be filled on the defensive side. I'm looking at the edge and the corners. What are you hearing about? Like, what's the strength on the defensive side of the ball this year in the draft early? Is it D linemen? You got secondary players? What are you hearing is the strength at those positions?
Well, I think defensive tackle might be the deepest position in the draft, along with tight end. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean you have to take one in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if Walter Nolan or Derek Harmon's there at 32, you'd be like, awesome. That's really good. But Malachi Starks, what if he's there?
Mm.
Mykel Williams, the edge, what if he's there? I'm kind of with you, Ike, that both edge and corner in this particular draft, like I look at that corner pool and say I'd like to get one of the top guys and I'd rather not be taking my chances down in the third round.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are four corners that could potentially be there at 32. Siobhan Revell from East Carolina, Azariah Thomas from Florida State, Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky, and Trey Amos from Ole Miss. Out of that group of four, I'm guessing two will be there and at least one. So I don't know how Howie and the Eagles feel about that group, but I look at it that way. Like that group, out of those four guys, I could find two I really like, and hopefully one of them would be there. I love Azariah Thomas higher than most people.
Okay.
But he's a press corner, and Vic Fangio would have to figure out whether or not he could play off in his system to the degree necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Amos has played inside and outside. I love him, too. Maxwell Hairston.
That's my guy right there. I like him.
Let me tell you something. He might be the most – he is the most gifted of that group. My only concern was I didn't think he was tough at all in tackling. When you dig deeper, he missed seven games last year with a shoulder, and if you go back to 23, his tape's a little better on the physical side. So, I mean, he can run, He's fluid. He can cover.
Yeah.
This year he struggled getting guys on the ground, and that bothered me. But I give him a little bit of a pass because of the shoulder. But Ike, your eye is good. He's really gifted. Like he's gifted at a higher level than the 32nd pick.
Mike, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt there. Mike Mayock with us here. Mike, one more from me. I've read before, we talk about trading up, trading down, and I've seen the chart on the internet about the value of each particular pick.
Right.
And if you want to move up this many spots, it'll cost this. Is that something that general managers do look at, that chart of value, or is it more of a gut, looking at it and saying it's worth that to me? Do you assign values to picks that way?
When you realize the amount of time you have to figure something out, you need a system.
Hmm.
And what you're referring to is the old Jimmy Johnson point grade system.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed that all 32 teams used it or a variation of it, and they still do.
Wow.
And some of us even traded, would send our point chart to another team.
Oh, wow.
Or the draft.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, this is what we're using. Like, if we get on the clock, what you're looking is, you're not always looking like win trades. You're looking for fair trade for both sides, because you only have a minute amount of time to finish the transaction. It's not like it's the off season and you got 3 months to make a deal. You're on the clock with 4 minutes. And I'll tell you, I had one of our analytics guys on a laptop sitting next to me. And when trade requests came in, he would put in all the point totals immediately and show me that, like, we were minus 102 points on a proposition by Washington. And I'd be like, that's bullshit. I mean, excuse me, that's BS.
We got you.
what we need to do is we need an extra, a fourth this year or a third next year to even this out, or no trade. And I know they're looking at their chart and I'm looking at my chart, and it really does help facilitate trades when you're under time pressure.
That is so interesting, Mike. It's such a good thing to, now that you explain it, but basically telling a team, here's what everything costs. If we get deep in, here's how we value everything. Sending it to another team just would give you an advantage in speed, and I had never considered that. It's just the NFL draft, I've watched a lot of NBA drafts in my life, and I've watched both, but NBA is what I focused on. And it's different because it's only two rounds, and you really do have general managers trying to win trades in a way that is not quite the same here when you're dealing with this quantity of players and that little time.
I'm not trying to say we're not trying to win trades, but if you really need to move up to get a player, what you're trying to do is make a fair trade for both sides so you can go get the guy you want. But if somebody's moving up for a quarterback, or who they've got, trust me, there are a lot of trades that, based on the trade chart, get done because one team has another over the barrel.
Right.
So it's not like we're saying every trade's fair. No. But if both sides can get to the place very quickly on a fair trade and they both get what they want, most of the time, that's fine.
What's it like to deal with Howie? In that, have you had much interaction with him in that way?
He's really good, and he and I go back a lot of years, man. And his reputation early in his career was kind of like, be careful. He's smarter than the rest of us, and he's going to try and win every trade. And I think as time has evolved, he is the smartest amongst all of us. And number two, what I loved about him is when you got him on the phone, he was trying proactively to make a deal. Like he wasn't trying to shoot down. If you had an original idea that he hadn't thought of, he'd take a step back and go, you know what, that might make some sense. Let me talk to Jeffrey. I'll call you right back. Or he might say, hey, Mike, have you thought about it this way? Can we get it done? And in the, I think, what year was it? 21. We were getting close to the trade deadline, and he and I were working on a potential deal that didn't happen. But I love dealing with him because it didn't matter if you called him at 2 a.m. or 9 p.m. or whatever, he was proactively trying to get a deal done as opposed to just trying to shoot stuff down. And I've got a lot of respect for him for everything he does in that building.
You said 21. I immediately started thinking, like, who did we want from the Raiders back in 21?
Well, that was the year Derek Carr had, what, the 85% completion percentage game against the Eagles?
Yeah. But I don't know what time in 21 this happened. I'm saying, I just wonder, Mike, as soon as you said 21, my mind went like, were we trying to get Antonio Brown? What were we doing? Yeah. I don't know who we were trying to get.
No, Antonio Brown was 19.
Oh, was he 19? Okay.
That was a disaster, but.
No, you don't have to tell me. I just started thinking as soon as you said I started thinking.
No, I'm not going to tell you, but the bottom line that game was in Vegas, and I told my wife before the game, I said, honey, if we ever want to move back to Philly, we got to win this game today. Because we both know Philly, and I can't go home without bragging rights.
All right, Mike. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate it. This was enlightening, actually. Really interesting.
Yes.
We look
good
forward
stuff.
To
good stuff.
We will talk to you next Wednesday and then talk to you before the draft. This was great, and we look forward to breaking down more specifically Eagles stuff the next time we talk to you.
100%. Look forward to it, boys.
All right,
thanks, Mike.
Yeah. I'm going to the Raiders.
See?
I was going to say, there's going to be some internet sleuther.
Yannick Ngakoue was 26. He's an edge rusher. Now, Max,
and we did have a little thing where we wanted him for a while.
Remember he was posting the Reggie White?
Yes.
Him and the old Eagles stuff?
Yeah.
Max Crosby is 24. That feels like maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure Howie wanted him. Yeah, there's no way that we were getting him.
Josh Jacobs, but he was young at that point. He was 23. Zay Jones, I feel like they liked him. Hunter Renfrow, a little slot guy.
What do we need in 21?
Well, I don't know because
that was Nick's first year.
It was Nick's first year. Jalen, they just handed the ball off basically the entire.
That was really his first year as a full-time starter.
Maybe they were looking for a second receiver because the one receiver is Devontae and the other was Rager.
Right.
And maybe Jay Jaw. Is that the one Jay Jaw was trying to be a tight end? I don't know.
Jay Jaw was here with Nick?
I don't know.
I was going to say, I don't even remember that. Yeah.
I love the whole strategy part of the draft. Now, I wish I liked watching college football more, and I wish I liked watching tape more.
Right.
But I like the whole idea of the time and the negotiating and the you only have this much time and the politics of all of it. And because you really do, when you think back to the Marcus Smith draft, you could feel the Eagles panicking. And was a panic pick. They didn't know whoever they thought was going to be there at their first spot was not there.
It was the Chiefs got us. Andy swooped in front of us.
Oh, really?
D Ford,
that's who it was, and took the D in.
And who we wanted.
I think the first one was Brandon Cooks, right? And then the Saints jumped us.
And we traded back Chiefs. Again.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they were like, I don't know, Smith. Yeah,
that was I wanted Brandon Cooks that year.
Oh, he's awesome.
I was a Brandon Cooks guy coming out. Yeah.
Coming up next.
He had a pretty good career.
He has.
He had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
Coming up next, maybe the person who will break who the Eagles are going to select, who knows? We have the newest edition of the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings, and there is a new entrant in the top five. That's all I'll say. Somebody dropped out, and somebody jumped in.
Okay.
215-592-9494. Today's show is sponsored by Gaida Door and Window. Get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down, up to 6 years to pay it off interest-free. Call Gaida Door and Window today at 877-GO-GAIDA or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. I screwed up my headphones, so they're not in. There we go. These in-ears, just like... they're always in the wrong direction. Yada, yada, yada. All right. The sorry. We're going to get to the Eagles Inside of the Year power rankings in a moment. First, we will get a check-in on the Twitter poll, which is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply at marks-jewelers.com. Which worries you more about the Phillies right now, the bullpen or Bohm, Stott, and Marsh? 62% say the bullpen. We will get to the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings in a moment. 215-592-9494. Jerry the Truck Horn Guy, you're on WIP. What's up, Jerry? Oh, there he is.
What's up, fellas? How you doing today?
What's up, Jerry? We were worried you got murdered. I think it was yesterday. Okay.
I've just been rolling the byways and the highways. I'm heading down to Palm Beach right now, so I'm in Kentucky. Get ready to head through Justin's area in Tennessee here shortly. So.
Okay. You're in Corey's area, then you'll be in Justin's area.
So I got a couple. Things on the docket today.
Oh, okay,
so,
great.
All right. So the first thing is, dude, I love the YouTube thing. It's the best thing that you guys have ever done. It's
wow.
I watch it. I put it on my iPad every day. I love.
Well, not
I
when
love
you're driving, right? Not when you're driving.
I'm not gonna say yes or no, but
Well, there's a reason why you might have ended up in the ditch.
No, it's not why, Jack. That's not why. So stop that. That's not why, Jack.
I'm just kidding.
I'm begging you not to watch YouTube while you're driving a giant truck. Please.
Well, I'm a professional, dude.
If you're good at it, it's fine.
Yeah. There's a guy I worked with at YSP years ago, a guy named Mike Trailer. And Mike used to tell us, the reason that drunk drivers are bad up here is because you guys don't know how to drive drunk. He was from Texas. He was like, down there, we know how to drive drunk.
What?
That's like what Jerry's saying. He was like, I'm a professional. You can't be watching YouTube driving the truck. Like, I'm going to let it go after this. But I spend a lot of miles, and I see people looking at screens and stuff like that. It drives me crazy. Come on, man.
I got 913 miles to go, bro. I'm just rolling. You know what I mean? I love my job.
Right.
I love this 94. So
yeah, I love it.
It's
okay.
The best thing. The YouTube thing is the greatest. Though.
Okay,
thank you. The best thing.
Yeah. Can't even give us a compliment without us lecturing you.
Well, I mean, he's watching YouTube driving a tractor trailer.
Yep, holier than thou, Spike. Back at him.
Spike, I haven't seen you with the same hat on yet. You've had a different hat on every day. and that's
just about. That's a good thing.
Every day you,
yeah, I got a lot of hats
and t-shirts.
Have yeah, a lot of hats because I have yet to see a different hat on your head. Or just, I mean, I'm sorry,
the same hat
on your head twice.
Well, the problem is I can't wear any Yankees hats anymore, so it cuts down like 20% of my hat collection. But I'm doing my best.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. So that, yeah, that Yankees thing you just said, so. Mark from Delaware, who is a great friend of mine,
yeah,
he poses as asked about Philly's question, but he's a Yankees fan.
Oh, okay.
He's a Stone Cold Eagles fan, but he's a Yankees fan at heart. Trust me, dude, I get badgered by the Judge stuff all the time, so
yeah.
I call him a Staggies fan. So, but yeah, so that's just that. So I'm on the bullpen, dude. I'm not worried about the daycare. They'll get their diapers off soon. You know,
well, they're almost 30.
I know. But, you know, what they always say is the back of your baseball card is always going to come through. And I think we've seen the back of the baseball card for 3 or 4 years now. And
yeah, well, the back of Stott's baseball card says 241 last year or something.
Right. You know, so.
Yeah, all right. Same page, I guess.
That hasn't changed. You know,
all
so,
right. Yeah.
So, Spike, I'm holding you to the fire because I'll be up. I'll be at Chickies and Pete's on the 25th to see you guys. I'll be up there while you're doing the show and make sure Jack's there. So you,
okay,
remember our deal.
What was our deal?
I don't. I'd be able to get on the air with you guys because you said wait till Jack is here. So
right.
To be here with
right.
You.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So remember that.
Jack,
deal.
Make sure we only have three mics.
Might have to miss that day.
Yeah.
The 25th.
Okay.
Jack, be here right. The 25th. Don't call out sick. Don't call no. No, daddy.
Yeah, it might have paternity leave, yeah.
No, can I be honest with you? We're not going to, like, the 25th is the day after the NFL draft.
All right, yeah, so I'll be there for
but there's an afternoon, there's a Phillies game in the afternoon that day.
That's fine. I'll be there early enough to maybe talk to you guys and see if you're there.
Okay.
I'll be there
right.
Anyway. No
yeah,
matter what.
Yeah. Just
I'll
Jack
home,
will meet you there.
So I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there to see you guys. If I get on
okay.
Whatever, that don't matter to me. I just like
all
I
right.
Love conversing with you guys. You guys are cool as can be.
All right. Cool.
So, and I want to see and tell Herb you better be there because I'm trying to buy Herb a beer and I haven't been able to do it yet. So make sure you get the word out to Herb. Herb, if you're listening, meet me at Chickies on the 25th where I can buy you a beer. Okay.
There you
I
go.
Want to see you. I want to meet you and chill with you for a little bit.
All right.
So, bye.
Ladies man?
So, my ladies man.
Yeah.
And I...
Not you.
It's one of the most famous Jets ever to predict the win of the Super Bowl. Mr. Quarterback, Mr. Joe Willie Namath.
Was he ladies man back in the day?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was Mr...
Sound like Joe young, right now.
Yeah. Sounds like Joe talking to Susie Colbert.
Right.
Well, yeah. So, but Joe Willie, he's always been and always will be a ladies man because I don't think he's ever been married. If he is,
all right.
God bless the woman he married. So,
all right, Jerry, that's a good one, brother.
And you know, the pole for the squirrel has been greased. And I haven't been able to get around it yet.
Yeah.
What?
So, that's still a whole.
A hole
thing
for the
making.
Squirrel hasn't been greased.
Yeah, no, it has been greased, and I
what the hell does that mean?
I don't think we want to know.
You know, I can only get halfway up that pole, and I keep sliding back the other
all
way.
Right.
So,
all right. Okay.
You know, there's no work being done with the pole.
Yeah. Now we're going to stop. Yeah.
You know, I might have to revert to the blue chew. You know, I might find out just for, you know, it's the giggles, you know, just to see how it works. You know, just check it out, make sure it's okay.
Yeah, you might as well. It's free first month. Just use code 94.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, you know, I might get the first month free on you guys. I might as well try it out for you.
Might as well.
Just, yeah, who you going to try it on?
Sometimes you just have a nice night by yourself.
He was whacking that thing.
Yeah.
A lot of those nights, you know, I got 10 hours every day to kill, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by yourself, that's 4 hours, man.
Yeah.
While you're driving?
You're driving.
I can't drive.
Would you rather him be on you? Never mind.
Yeah.
You know,
neither.
So every 10 hours every day, I can't drive. Jack, I still can hit your 70, 80 mile an hour fastball.
Jack, no problem.
Ring the bell, book.com.
I will get that book, Jack. I promise you.
Yep, thank you. Yep.
Read it while he's driving.
I will go on air.
I'll get you the audio version.
Drive by Jerry's. He's eating a salad, watching a movie, reading a book.
Give me the audio version.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, we got to go. All right.
All right, get out of here.
Struggling is a tough one.
Struggling.
Oh, my God. Boy. That was a big deal. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that was a huge deal.
Yeah, that was what I was playing. Yeah. I remember that.
Let's get the new edition of the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Oh, yes. The race is on for the 2026 award. Elliot carries around the 2025 Eagles Insider of the Year award with him. If you see him out on the street, ask him. He'd take a picture with it. We should do an event at some time. We should have him at the Chickies and people take a picture with him and the award. Be a good moment. So it hasn't been a very busy week. We've only seen one change in the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Here you go. Now, with the draft coming up, points can be scored. Points can be scored. Elliot did not start off great last year with the draft, if you remember. Start off poorly. Maybe it could hurt him. Number five in the power rankings this week, D. Gunn, takes one step back.
Oh, man. He's still going to have a good year. I'm in on D. Gunn this
year. I'm in on D. Gunn as well. Coming in at number four, the first time he's ever been in the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. Skinny Joey Merlino.
Oh!
Huh?
Well, a lot of pictures out there. Him and Dom. You know, players going over there.
Hugh's over there.
Yep. Seems like an insider.
Bryce.
Yes.
That was a different team. But
different
team,
but you never know. Yep. You never know. So congratulations to Skinny Joey Merlino, number four, Eagles Inside of Your Power Rankings.
I got to get down there one of these days.
You better.
That's right.
Number three, Tim McManus. Stays at three.
Oh, T-Mac.
Number two, newspaper reporter. Stays at two and still... At number one, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, your current champion, Elliot Shorepark.
ESP?
Elliot Shorepark still at number one.
Oh.
The reign continues, his reign of evil.
Yeah. And I heard him complaining on the, I think it was the Midday Show.
What's he complaining about?
Well, about the fact that you guys gave me the belt last week after he didn't want it.
You had to earn the belt. The commissioner came in and said that you had the belt. You've got the belt. And, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody's done anything this week to take the belt away from Ike.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I haven't seen anything.
Well, and I can easily strengthen my hold on the belt. Well, still have 3 days left.
One could say that your performance against Elliot yesterday was a great performance to help keep the belt.
Would say, was that a battle? Of the belt?
Oh.
Is that why I jumped in there?
You had to keep it.
Yes. Well, that's the one thing.
Well, and it was honest. I appreciated it. It was real.
Finally.
Honest about old number one. Yeah.
Don't try me like that.
No,
man.
I won't try you like that, but
I've
appreciated it.
I've been honest the entire time.
No, yeah, so I agree.
I won't over-exaggerate the passing game.
I know. I'm glad that someone did it. Because when Spike or I do it, it's like, hey, here you go. You know, when a true, tried and true football guy does it, it's like, okay, well, that makes more sense. By the way, one of the highlights of the Mayock interview, did you notice when he said, Ike, that's a great eye?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that was big. Yeah, that's belt worthy.
That's a good point there.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things about the belt, and we award the belt, you know, if it changes hands every Friday at 4:30 on the WIP Afternoon Show, is that thus far, anyone who's had it has not done anything to keep it.
Right.
Broads had it, did nothing. Right? DeCamera had it, did nothing. Wishy-washy DeCamera over there. You know, Ike is working to keep the belt.
Yeah. I'm alive now.
Now
I'm
he's awake.
Yeah, I'm awake. Now I'm awake. We need another one of those moments at the draft.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, honestly.
You never know. They got a bunch of picks. They had a bunch of picks. 215-592-9494. Oh, speaking of the draft, here to give his prospect of the day leading up to the draft, everyone's favorite draft analyst, OK Andrew. OK Andrew, you're on WIP.
What it do, fellas?
What it do, Andrew?
What it do, Drew?
Hey, coming in today... You know what the strengths and the past of the Birds were, drafting those guys from the SEC. So we got another SEC monster. I have him as violent, explosive, powerful, and a monster in the making with a little bit of coaching. Defensive tackle from Texas A&M to Ole Miss, Walter Nolan. 6'4", 296, and at that size, he's probably almost pushed 300, but he ran a 4.95 40-yard dash. I think that's saying something up front. And just as an overview, he reminds me of a feeling of a Jalen Carter, Aaron Donald-type free tech. Big things about him, plays in the SEC, plays all the big games of college football. In the past 2 years, he's had 10.5 sacks, and he lives in the backfield with 23 TFLs the past two seasons. Quick things that you can see with your bare eye, quick off the ball. He's very strong when he gets leverage. Key thing I'll touch a little later. He destroys SEC interior O-linemen one-on-one. You should see it. Magnificent. Puts people on the behind. Like I said, Aaron Donald type of player.
Well,
he's very quick off the ball, great with leverage, and he's great in the run game. A guy that will make a giant difference if he can play every single snap. I know that we struggle with that with our D-tackle too, and I think he can fit right in there next to Jalen Carter in a 1 or a 3, right, or even a 3-4.
Well, all right, okay, okay. what's his name again?
Walter Nolan.
Walter Nolan. Yeah. And where is he projected to go in the first round?
He's projected probably from all the way from like 20 to 32. But I think if we're making the trade in this draft, we trade up for a guy like him or a guy I mentioned earlier. So
all right,
coaches take him a long way.
All right.
I think.
Great info from
Love
OK
it.
Andrew there.
Yep.
The comp, Aaron Comp, one of the greatest defensive tackles of all time.
Yeah, of all time, yes.
And maybe the one of the best defensive tackles in football currently.
Yeah, they'll probably have to trade up for him if he's Aaron Donald. Yeah.
Yes, that would be my guess.
Meanwhile,
look, don't rip on OK.
I'm not.
Well, meanwhile, his physical stature does not remind you of Aaron Donald. He's 6'4".
Oh, really?
Aaron Donald was barely 6 feet.
Right, 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 right.
That's
wider
a horrible comp, then.
Yeah.
Horrible comp. Is 6'4" Aaron Donald? Is he going number one overall?
Yeah.
What
look,
are we doing?
Stop. You're so anti-OK Andrew.
Yeah, quit trying to knock down his analysis, man. It's a good player. D-tackle.
Yeah.
Obviously a position the Eagles value. I just wonder would they – now, that would be a clear indication they're not re-signing Jordan Davis at the end of his contract.
Yeah.
So
– yep.
I just wonder would they go interior D lineman
when they have such a need exterior
on the edges,
yeah, especially to trade up for that guy.
Yeah,
he would. My guess is they would have to have a really high grade on him, and he would have to drop.
Yeah,
you know,
where they're like it's too good to pass on.
Yeah,
yeah.
215-592-9494. Oh, Nafis, the barber. You're on WIP.
Man, it's your boy Nafis.
What's up?
Who you? What's up, y'all?
What's up, Nafis?
What's up, Nafis?
Man, it's good to hear y'all. I ain't heard you in a long time.
Well, that's
well, we
your
haven't
problem.
Heard you in a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, we're on every day.
Every day, 2 to 6.
Yeah. That's your issue.
What's up, Ike? How you doing, man?
I'm good, bro. Long time, man. Long time, no
I
talk.
I know, man. I know, man. I know you good. I know you're glad to have Spike back.
Well, listen, when Spike first told me he goes to a black barber, you know, back in the day, I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, my barber, Nafis. I was like, hold on, that don't sound like a white guy, Nafis. So, yeah. No, and to your point, definitely happy to have Spike back, man.
Well,
definitely.
By the way, happy to, I'm moving back in 3 weeks, so I can finally.
He can actually, yeah, he'll really be back in 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, then I can actually have Nafis cut my hair again. Because the guy in North Jersey, I'm going to admit, he's a nice guy, but he is a white guy. So he's not nearly as good.
Not the haircut you want.
No. You notice I wear a hat every day.
I do.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, man. Listen, man. I just had to call and talk about these Sixers, man.
Why?
Man, it's just, man. I told people 3 years ago, and I think, Spike, you were one of them, get rid of Embiid, man.
Oh,
and man. For some reason, everybody said I was going to be fired as a GM. I would never have a team. And look where we are now. What are we going to do with Embiid's contract, ridiculous contract, and him not being on the court?
Nothing. Like, you're gonna wait for it to expire. You're going to wait 4 more years to expire. But the problem with people like you a few years ago is nobody had an alternate plan. Nobody knew who they were trading him for. Nobody knew what they were doing. They were just saying, trade this guy.
You trade him for picks.
You know, oh, great.
We start rebuilding for the future. We're going to rebuild for the future someday, right?
Well, they're going to have to do it now.
Yeah.
Well,
we're 3 years too late.
Well, we're going to get the number one. We're going to get the number one pick next month anyway. We're going to get Cooper Flagg. What do you now? You love college basketball. What do you think of Flagg?
Ah, man, I think that he's the real deal, right? But I question his end of game play though.
Well,
right. Looking at some of the end of game plays where he had the ball in his hands to win the game, and he's turned the ball over. But you know, and now I always ask this, right? Always ask everyone, right? Who is he going to be around that's going to help him? A veteran is going to help him grow to what he needs to grow to. I think that's what a lot of these NBA teams are missing is a veteran that can mold them and help them become a great player.
Well, I got the answer for you, Joel Embiid.
Oh my God! listen, my guy Zach, man, my Uber driver Zach, man, he told me, man, he listens to y'all every day.
Okay.
And I said, "There's no way."
You said there's no way he listens to us every day?
Yes, and he does, man.
Okay, well, good.
Say what's up, Zach?
What's up, Zach?
Hold on, are you in the? Oh, you said you're Uber driver. I thought you meant like a personal Uber driver.
No, you mean
you're in the Uber now.
Right.
Yeah.
What's up, Zach?
What's up, Zach? You'd be surprised.
Oh, Jack, say hello.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's three people on the show.
Yeah. Mike.
I mean, we got the biggest show in the city, Nafis. Of course, everybody listens every day. You're the only one that's once every 6 months. Yeah.
I see, man. Yeah. I see. You guys are doing it, man. It's glad to hear y'all.
All right, man. All right, dude.
Appreciate it, brother. Don't be a stranger, man.
Yeah, Nafis never did like Embiid. He was a trade Embiid
guy. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, no, he was a trade Embiid guy. But what he doesn't bring up is the guy's had some pretty bad basketball takes historically. Well, I'm just saying, there are three barbershops I went to with Nafis. The second one was the loudest one.
Right.
It was that everyone argues.
Yeah.
And everyone was always arguing with him. Yeah. He always had the wrong take.
It's always one guy in the barbershop. It is one.
100% with him. 100% with him.
And I'm speaking to you, Brian, if you're listening, at my barbershop. He's the one guy. It's always the one guy in there that everybody argues with.
Yeah. Oh. Go ahead, Jack. Just tell me on the air.
Well, I'm saying let's just end this segment with the Blue Chew, and then we'll move the one to next.
All right. We had two?
Well, yeah.
We had to talk to Nafis. We had to talk to OK Andrew.
Yeah.
So you're going to do that, Spike. You're going to do that next.
All right.
Next
Might
hour.
As well just do this on
the air. We're going to do Blue Chew now.
Yes.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.